is about. I'm a black man trying not to get caught. I'm just trying to solve the puzzle like a jigsaw. You know it's a big world, so easy to get lost. I'm just trying to solve the puzzle like a jigsaw.
What's going on, Black and everybody in between? I am Josh Rogers.
I am Brian Hare.
And we're your two favorite friendly neighborhood Negroes, sir. Here at the Jigsaw Podcast, your favorite podcast, where we talk about how we put the pieces together. But in particular, we talk about the perils, the praises, the productivity, and the pump circumstance of being black men just trying to figure it out. Brian.
Yes.
Glory to God. How are you?
Oh, God. He's sweet, I know. He talk about he come.
I like that. He's sweet, I know.
Yes.
He's so sweet, I know. Dark clouds may rise and the stormy winds may blow. I'll tell the world wherever I may go. You know that I found a savior and he's sweet, sweet, I know. I ain't sang that in a minute. They don't sing them kind of songs at church.
They don't. Them songs have the power. Them songs have the power.
He's sweet, I know.
He's sweet. How do you know?
Sweet, I know. Because dark clouds may rise and the stormy winds may blow. Mm. But in the midst of that, bro, I'll still tell the world wherever I may go that I found a savior.
Mm.
And he's sweet, I know.
He's sweet, I know.
He's sweet, I know because I found him. Maddie Moss said it like this. I tried him and I know him.
That's how you know.
Found him to be a friend.
My God. What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a privilege it is to care.
Everything to God in prayer. What was a peace we often forfeit? That what it said?
What needless pains we bear.
Needless pains we bear.
It's like some of the stuff we go through, we don't even got to go through simply because we're so arrogant that we think our humanity can handle it. But we got a friend who said, I got you.
I got you, my nigga. We good.
What greater love is this?
What?
That a man would lay down his life for who, Brian?
His friends.
A friend. We got a friend. That's the power of the friendship with the Father.
Yes.
Is that not only he laid down his life, which means if I lay down my life, I can handle your hater. I can handle this struggle. I can handle your finances.
You're right.
You don't have to face the needless pain because you got a real friend.
Yeah, just trust in Jesus.
I don't know why this podcast started off this way.
We started off on in heaven, in glory.
Maybe because I got this Martin Luther King beloved community thing on my chest. I'm feeling the ancestors and the anointing and everything. My God.
I got power to the people, so you know. Yeah. But the Holy Ghost is power to the people.
The Holy Ghost is power. Whew. There will be no beloved community without Jesus.
Hey, God. My God. I don't know why. Why are we here? Have you been fasting and praying? Have you been seeking the Lord?
I actually have been consecrated. Okay. Yes, I've been in his face.
You've been on his face?
On a 21-day, and Pastor put us on a 21-day Bible reading challenge. Like, I read my Bible every day, but he challenged us for 21 days to get deep
into it.
Like a deep meditative reading and for the next 21 days. Because this sermon series this month he's calling it Connect Four ways to connect to Christ.
Ooh.
One was fellowship through fellowship and human connection. Mm-hmm. Last week was connecting through the word. So this was the challenge at the end of it. And it's been I read my devotional, you know, but like, you know, it's different when you sit down and like get that highlight and that peeing out, you know what I'm saying? You go.
That's studying. That's the difference between reading and studying.
Yes, like because I read to have it in my heart. You know what I'm saying? To make sure I got the positive.
But you might not see it. Okay.
Yeah, you know, so it's a light unto my feet. I don't want to be dark out here.
My God.
That's the word. But it's different when you really just get in it and you like seeking revelation and you're reading to like really get something from it. And that's what I know everybody's on a different journey. So for some people, it's 21 days of just straight reading because they don't read their Bible every day. No judgment, right? Yeah. But for me, because I do pick it up and reflect on something, it is more or less, all right, let's go deeper. And the deeper is taking me deeper. So much so that me and Brian was talking about this, a song that never has taken me up in glory. Took me up in glory. Never would have made it by Marvin Sapp.
My God.
So if y'all not familiar, there is a young man... I would listen to someone on the TikTok. There was a man on TikTok came across my page. His name is, what is his name? Roman Collins. I'm just going to send it to y'all. Never would have made it.
Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see you were there for me. So I can't say I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. Much better. When I look back after all you brought me through, I can see it's you. You were the one I held on to. Say, and I never.
That's oily though. This is oily though. I feel it.
I could have lost it all, but now I see it was you that was holding me. So I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better.
Go up.
On American Idol,
nigga,
like the, not the audition, like no. One of the performances, and this was like 2 a.m. and that thing had me so stirred, and maybe it's because I'm in a place, we could talk about this later in the show, where things are changing. I'm facing imposter syndrome about a new position I'm in. I feel like God has been sending me these Easter eggs, and now I'm not the hugest Marvin Sapp fan, but I can't deny the power of Never Would've Made. It's a great song, but it's never like taking me like up. You, bro, I was in deep worship at like 2:30, tears, everything. And I just been in a space this week, bro. So no apologies for where I am today. I'm just feeling churchy. I'm feeling it. But that's a reminder that no matter where you go, no matter what platforms you are, because American Idol is a secular platform. And this young man has sang R&B songs and all that kind of stuff. But it shows, to me, I think there's so, the beauty of it is, bro, is that it is confirmation of some of the stuff we talk about.
Yeah.
That you can love God, you can love culture, you can be committed. And when God gives you space, like he had Katy Perry in worship. Like Richie is up there praising. Ryan Seacrest is up there running. And then said this, even though, you know, he had a Kirk Franklin moment. Ryan Seacrest ran on that stage and said, "Hosanna is here." Right. But you got people.
He tried to connect it.
And he was, and I don't even think Ryan Seacrest even understood he ran to the stage jumping up and down with Roman. Like it was, you may have called it emotionalism, but that was the power of the Holy Ghost that snatched that audience was up.
Yeah.
Like, it snatched that room. And I don't know. To me, that was just a visible, almost prophetic of what God is able, capable to do if you give him your full self.
Yeah.
And you ain't got to put it out. You ain't got to fake it.
Yeah.
You ain't got to, you ain't got to go through all the stuff and the suits and it ain't got to be a pool pit. It ain't got to be nothing. It could be American Idol stage.
Yeah.
And God can still get the glory. You could have sang Al Green last week and God could still get the glory. It's just, I don't know, man. That's just the space that I'm in. And I'm so thankful. And I feel like this has been a theme for us the last month or so.
Yeah. it's been a weird space, like to where I think it's an authentic space. An authentic space, like a space where it's, you know, that's kind of what the conversation would be about today. Like it's the fact of like being multiple things.
Yeah.
Right. Being multiple things, but still being you. Right. Mm-hmm. And even it's been interesting to see how God has been on a platform like heavy recently. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like in, you know, Chance, who years back, I talked to God in public and, you know, putting God on display and things of that nature. And, you know, even the GOAT, Don Staley, recently, Uncommon Favor, and going, you know, in worship and giving God glory and praise in these big moments. And I feel like there might be a shift or transition to where we're going to see God, hopefully, prayerfully, being put on the platform of like, you know, getting that glory, right? Like, and we talked about the prayerfully the Beyonce album, right? Like the thing that he might do, because if he does that, then
it's a wrap.
It's crazy. It's crazy out here. And even the Book of Clarence we talked about. So there's certain things right now. I feel like we're in a space where God, and this is going to sound like ruffle some feathers, the relevancy of God, right? Even though he's always been relevant to us, I feel like sometimes in mainstream culture, like seeing and hearing his name and his voice, then kind of reminds the people like that he exists and he's real, yes. Right? And you see him in spaces and places where normally occupied by something else, right? So, and I feel like this might be the season. I'm trying to prophesy, but those that are authentically believers of Christ and of God, like, be okay with that. Sit in that. Rest in the fact that you know that risen Savior, right? You're not out there being hella judgy. You're not out there criticizing. You're not out there, you know, telling everybody they're going to hell. But you have this space of saying, like, I don't know about you. What I know is that God has been good to me, right? Mm-hmm. And if you give him a try, right, then I'm pretty sure that you'll see that God is good. Regardless of whatever happened in your life, that he can show you, like, you know, just trust him, right? That he is amazing. So give him a shot. That, you know, if we offer any encouragement today, which we're going to probably offer more words of encouragement, let's just give God a try. Give God a try.
Have you tried Jesus, Brian?
He's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Which we know he's better than all right.
Yes, he is. So right. let's tap out for a second. The right. Playoffs are here. And I see you. Mm-hmm. The Grizzlies had a season. We was like 24-58.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Yeah, injuries and job.
Injuries beyond injuries. And yeah. Job was, you know, out here on his hustle and flow. And he was out here whooped that trick and all kind of stuff. Listen. Hard out here for a pimp. But we back.
Y'all
most
back.
Of our guys are healthy. Like I said last week, we need a big.
Yeah.
I wonder what a world would be like if Ja and Zion were on the same team. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, if that was our big, I know that like Pelicans ain't giving that man up. Mm. But I ain't worried about that. I don't know. I'm not rooting for anyone. The other team I would root for because my son is a, you know how we say Steph Curry changed the game?
Yeah.
Jaden is a part of that phenomenon.
Yeah.
He is a Steph. He likes the Grizzlies, but he also loves Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And then I think as a family, we've always kind of wanted to, hey, Curry's, we've always wanted to double date with you and Aisha. So if y'all hear this.
Hello.
I'll actually be in San Fran next week. So if you want to make it happen, we can make it happen. Yeah. But I saw the Lakers clinch their spot.
We clinched it.
Well, you know, how do you think they're going to make it past first round?
It's the Nuggets. So here goes the thing. So in last year's playoff,
okay,
the Lakers had a shot every single game. Mm-hmm. For the most part, they had. I think maybe one game was a little wide, but for the most part,
okay,
they lost 4-1. But at least three out of the four games, they only lost by a couple points. So they were in the game. They made silly mistakes at the end. They had a shot to win. So, you know, in basketball, a couple plays can make or break the game, right? Sure. So who knows? This year, they may get those plays. They may get those calls. They may make the things. But, you know, we at least made it to the playoffs, and I'm excited about that. I'm praying. I might go on that 21-day consecration that you're on right now to see if the Lakers can make it out of the first round. Because if they make it out of the first round, they can win the championship. Because the Nuggets are the best team in the NBA. One of the best teams in the NBA. So if you win that game or that round, you're fine.
So if you had to just like as of right now pick a NBA Finals champ, who is it?
Oh, the best team all year has been the Celtics.
Okay.
Yeah, the Celtics have been the best team. So I think the Finals, if the Lakers don't make it past the first round, I think it's gonna be the Nuggets versus the Boston Celtics.
And those have been the best. Celtics will one up the Nuggets.
I don't know. Because who was it? The finals last year was the Nuggets versus the Celtics, right? Who was it the finals last year? I don't remember who the finals was last year. I don't know. But I feel like the Boston Celtics are the best team in the East. The best team in the West is the Nuggets. So I feel like, I don't know, man. I feel like the Nuggets are still really good.
Yeah.
And they're the defending champs. I'm not going to bet against the defending champs. I will say if the Lakers don't beat the Nuggets, then the Nuggets might win it all.
Gotcha. Well, I will say it's sad that speaking of Steph Curry, it's the end of an era, I feel like.
Yeah.
The Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
You know, because Klay Thompson went scoreless.
Right, which is crazy.
He had no points.
None.
I think the man, and not to say that he's completely lost at all, but he is not the Klay Thompson of yesteryear.
No.
And Steph is aging. So while he's still playing at a pretty high level for his age, he's aging. And he can't carry that team by himself. I mean, Kobe showed us that in his last few years. As great as Kobe was, he had terrible talent around him.
Yeah.
And he just, I don't care how great I am, I can't do it by myself.
No.
LeBron, even in first couple of years in Cleveland, like, I can't do it alone. You can make all your arguments, but he was the sole talent for a while. So unless the Warriors are looking to rebuild quickly, because you can't rebuild around Steph, because Steph ain't got that many more years left.
No, not at all.
So if they're looking to be contenders again, I would think, unfortunately, Steph gonna have to go, and you know, maybe be that piece for someone if the Warriors are looking to do something sooner rather than later. Because otherwise, y'all just gonna be this kind of mid team where you are now.
Yeah,
and
you have to do like a major trade to bring in like one or two young.
Yeah, you would have to do something major right now.
Yeah,
to bring the Warriors back.
Otherwise, I don't know. Because Draymond and Klay are pretty much done at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Steph is still good, but he's a small guard. Mm-hmm. There's only so much you can do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's only so much you can do. But the thing is, he gets to play for some years because he can shoot. So he could probably play like for like another 5-10 years.
I don't think Klay can shoot. I mean, I don't think Steph's done. I just don't think he's in a space where he can carry like the load alone.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And this season, because there were games where that man scored 40, 50 points and they was getting beat, Steve. Like, he's just not winning.
Yeah.
Still.
It's a supporting cast.
Yeah, I think that's why when Draymond got ejected and that man kind of went to tears, it was almost, I think it was a frustration cry. Like, nigga, I'm out here giving my all and you out here still getting ejected. Like, help me. Right. Like, help me.
Yeah.
You know, I think I don't think it, because people try to say he was soft. I don't think that was soft. I think it was like, I'm frustrated. I'm giving everything I got and you can't even act right.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with that.
Klay out here not scoring. You out here almost in jail. And I'm out here fighting for my life by myself.
Listen.
Like,
back hurting.
Yeah.
Like, doing all the things.
It's proven day in and day out that we ain't got no real coach. Like, come on. Like, Steve Kerr inherited great team.
He did.
Steve Kerr is the NBA John Calipari.
Yes. You, anybody could have coached those championship teams.
Oh, absolutely.
Anybody.
Absolutely.
Because the team, the talent was there.
You need a decent basketball IQ and you could have got those guys to a championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But, you know, who are me?
Who are me?
Speaking of basketball.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go.
WNBA.
Yes.
We had the draft.
Yes. We already.
Did you follow up on that? Or
we already knew.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin Clark was going to go number one. So
we did.
Do nothing about that.
We did.
I was surprised Angel went as high as she did because they had her projected like 10 in certain drafts. They had her lower in the top 10.
Yeah, which is crazy.
But her and her former opponent are now both up on Chicago Sky. And I saw that the Sky versus the Indiana Fever, that their name.
Mm-hmm.
Game tickets for that game right now, like, they're starting at like 300 already.
Which is wild because no one, we used to get last minute tickets to Dream Games and WNBA game. Like, the WNBA is about to go crazy.
I even heard with the Chicago Sky and the Indiana Fever come to Atlanta, those tickets are already in the hundreds.
Yeah.
People just want to see Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and them.
We're going. Like, Lauren texted me, because Lauren was saying, like, I don't care where these girls go. Especially the young lady from South Carolina, who's now in Chicago. Can't think of her name at the moment.
Yeah, I can't. She's from Brazil. Why I keep saying their opponent. Yeah, because I can't think of her name.
She was from Brazil. Went now to South Carolina. She was like, I don't care where she goes, but when they come to Atlanta, I want to go see this girl play.
Yeah.
And so when Angel Reese comes to town, when Caitlin Clark comes to town, like, all these young ladies coming to town, we're going to go to see the Dream.
Let me know when y'all go, because Jaden has a crush on Angel Reese.
Listen.
So he definitely wants to. And then I think we're more invested. Like everybody. Like people are more invested in women's basketball now because
of
that. So let us know, because we'll definitely be down for LSU. Chicago Sky.
Dream.
Atlanta Dream game. And I heard they're expanding.
Really?
They're thinking about Nashville. I know Nashville. It says South Florida, as if South Florida is a city. Philly. There are a couple of other states on there. I think Nashville will be great because Memphis has the Grizzlies. So that'll be a good like connecting back and forth. Even though I would actually love to see it in Memphis, because Nashville, y'all do have hockey and NFL. So give us something else.
I was hoping Angel Reese got drafted to the Dream, because I feel like Angel Reese in Atlanta.
I'm actually glad that didn't happen, because I don't know. I feel like Angel Reese in Atlanta would be what Ja tried to be in Memphis, and we don't need that.
In the streets?
Yeah, I feel like Angel would be in them streets.
Angel, she would run Atlanta.
Magic City getting wings before the game, and girl, you can't get back there with that lemon pepper wet on your system.
Angel Reese in Atlanta would be the biggest sports star.
Oh, it should be big. She'll be big.
She'll be huge.
She would give Trey a run for his money.
Without a doubt. Like, if I saw Trey walking out here right now, I'd be like, oh, it's Trey. But I feel like Angel would demand a certain, she would be on every billboard.
A celebrity. Because
she's like, she's Atlanta.
Yeah, and then she'll really lean into like the baddie, and not the stereotype, but I feel like she would lean. I feel like we would see her at Nobu, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like doing all the Atlanta celebrity things. But I also feel like she would give us all of that and still dominate on the court.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't be a trade off. It would be a both and.
Yeah, she'd be focused.
Yeah. So anyway, excited about the WNBA. This is around the time with the NBA where I get really, in all honesty, outside of my my character of being a sports analyst, sports for me gets interesting when it gets the most competitive. So, that's why I go up for March Madness, the Super Bowl, if it's a great team, my NBA Finals, or the playoffs. Because
when it counts.
That's when they play. That's when they ain't joking around, all that kind of stuff. And the NBA been kind of spicy this season, too.
Listen.
So, you never know what might go down
in the playoffs.
In this here playoff. And I saw Ja when, speaking of your boy LeBron in the Lakers, when he dunked on, I think somebody in the Grizzlies, Ja got off that bench. I said, is there a new rivalry happening? Is there a new West Coast rivalry happening?
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. I love it. I like when the NBA is like chippy and competitive. I like that. We know they're not going to fight each other, but we at least want them to feel like y'all don't like each other.
And that's what I need from Memphis. I like the current Grizzly, but find me another Tony Allen, Z-Bo kind of character. who going to dominate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. slap somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I said if Zion was on the Grizzly just a little bit tough, that big Negro. Yes, sir. Who was the big dude from NC State?
I don't know his name, but I know who he's talking about.
That's who we need to draft.
Listen.
Okay. Yeah. Get that joke.
Memphis will love him.
Oh, we love those kind of people.
Y'all need to get Draymond. Draymond would fit well in Memphis.
Nope. We don't even mess with Dylan Brooks like that no more. But that drama is cemented. We good. Memphis holds a grudge. We good. What Josh say? Stay on their side. Don't switch up now. Listen, stay on their side. Speaking of switching up, before we go to Song of the Week and dive into the show, have you been keeping up with the 20 verse 1, Drake versus the rest of rap?
I haven't.
I haven't been keeping up closely. I've been watching as a surrogate through TikTok and some Instagram posts. I did listen to the Rick Ross song.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Rosé, you could have kept that with that Wingstop.
I'm sure.
It wasn't like bad, but it was not good. It was like Usher's latest album.
Yeah. Oof.
That was Rick Ross. That was Rick Ross's diss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think indifference is worse than hot or cold.
Like, especially in a beef.
Yeah. Like, I feel like when you listen to something and it's like, I'd rather it be bad because you just have a feeling about it, or really good because it's like, oh my gosh, this is great. But when it's like
Nicki Minaj response to Megan was just bad. And we landed. It's bad. Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah.
You know, but Rick was like, because a few of the bars was like, oh, I, and then we called him a white boy, had a BBL Drake. It was like, funny. Yeah. But like overall, it was like, Drake, I've heard some Drake responses though, whether they're AI or not. And I'm going to tell you what I love. Now, I'm going to leave it at this, and I'll throw it back to you if you got anything else. What I do love about it, though, is that it's making Drake rap. It's making him rap.
Yeah.
And if this is what it takes to get him to get back in that bag, then he has also been trolling. He hired a mariachi band to diss Metro Boomin. He also hired an HBCU drumline to play in front of Magic City and told Metro to go play some drums. So he's been like Thanos level trolling, which is also, I think, a part of his who he is, which is actually kind of funny to see. But apparently The Weeknd is in it somehow, and
so apparently, I think you sent me something to where there's a lot of artists, I guess, people are saying like, well, Drake made these niggas' career. Drake gave them
their biggest
hit.
And that's not true for nobody except Future.
Yeah.
And even in that song, it was kind of like, because again, I don't want to cut you off, but the lady who made she made a great point in saying that is his biggest song with Drake. But if you ask people what is Future's biggest song, it's not going to be Life is Good. They're not going to say. They're going to say March Madness. They're going to say Mask Off. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, numbers wise, you did probably.
Yeah.
But that is not what rap fans are going to say is Future's biggest song.
Yeah, not at all. And because Future's, it's Drake didn't break Future. Drake didn't like, did he, you know, no, I wouldn't say that at all.
I don't really know that Drake really put anyone on. Mm-mm. To be honest, like I think there are some songs that went crazy because of Drake, but it's almost like he's Drake. So any song he's on is probably going to get crazy numbers because you're going to listen at a bare minimum. You're going to listen, right? But yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, the song of the week, I'm gonna deal with a song that's kind of similar, but okay. I don't feel like he put people on, but like you can't tell me. Say he put The Weeknd on, but The Weeknd is the freaking Weeknd. I don't listen to The Weeknd. I'm gonna hold you.
But, I can't feel my face when I'm with you. But bro, that nigga, that's The Weeknd. He didn't need Drake for that.
He's himself. Like he,
yeah.
Like it's kind of like, I can get you in the job at the door of the job, but you gotta be a great employee to like skyrocket. Mm-hmm. So even if Drake got him in the door, The Weeknd is one of the biggest artists out there. Like in the space.
Think about some of the other collabs Drake's been on, like 9-on-1, shit, like Block Boy, Young. Like, where is he today? Probably making music, but you know what I'm saying. So I'm just saying to your point, like we could have had this collab song, but I had to take it to the. I still had to become.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah. All right. Song of the week, Brian.
Song of the week. Right, so I'm kind of conflicted because I had two songs. One is going to be kind of with the Blessed Report or the Rest of the Report. The other one is because, you know, with just these beefs and a song that I listened to today. Well,
okay.
Brooklyn wanted to listen to Good Life by Kanye. And then the song that played after Brooklyn. Brooklyn loves the hip hop, but she also loves songs that feel catchy and she can dance.
And she also loves Anita Baker.
She does love Anita Baker. Anita Baker.
I love that.
She likes she likes Lord Jermighty by JJ Harrison. She loves that song. She loves Good Life by Kanye. She Brooklyn's loves any song that mentions auntie. Brooklyn. Like if it mentions Brooklyn, she's like, oh, that's about me. That's about me. But this song came on. And it was a time when there were no beefs. Here goes.
Okay.
Every second, every minute, man, I swear that she can get it. Say if you a bad chick, put your hands up high. Hands up high. Hands
great up song. High. Great song. Lights down right now. Put me in the mood. I'm talking about dark room, dark theme. Go, go.
I recognize your fragrance. Hold up, you ain't never gotta say shit. And I know your taste is a little bit high maintenance.
Oh, yeah.
No, just know. You need to hear this.
sound like poetic justice. There goes. Poetic justice. You're so new to this life, but you gotta adjust it. I mean, I write poems in these songs dedicated to the fronts, your natural hair and your soft skin and your big and that sundress. Ooh. Ooh. Good God. What you doing that walk for? When I see that they move, I just wish we would fight less and we would talk more. They say communication save relations. I can tell, but I can never write my wrongs unless I write them down for real. Yes. When I tell you that's one of the best songs that's ever been made.
It is. And here's the other thing about with the beef. Drake knew he couldn't get on that track and play games. On a track with Kendrick.
He couldn't.
And the last time he tried to play games when he was on Wants and Needs with Lil Baby, he got his feelings hurt. Because Lil Baby got on that track and said, checkmate.
Right, listen.
I'm not gonna even breathe.
Yeah. If they do an album with all y'all niggas on it together, and I guarantee that'd be the best album ever made. God.
I would go to that tour, actually.
Because y'all would be trying so hard to have the best verse that no one in the rap lovers would lose. Because we'd be like, oh, okay.
You want to hear a hot take?
Go for it.
Not from me. I heard this on another podcast. Kia Fury from The Re actually said this because he's a big J. Cole fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he categorized the Mount Rushmore of me and rappers anyway. And he said it like this, that J. Cole is the rapper.
Okay.
Kendrick is the artist.
Okay.
Drake is the entertainer.
Okay.
And he threw in Wale as the underdog.
I would agree with that.
I thought about it for a second. I said, you know what? Because even when he did about Kendrick, he was like, it's not that Kendrick can rap. He said, but if we talk about like art.
He's an artist.
By far, yeah.
Because Kendrick makes bodies of work in every album has been like a work. It's been like a thought out. Mm-hmm. Good Kid, Mad City has a theme, has skits. It is all Good Kid, Mad City. Damn, it's all the same thing. Damnation, and it's all spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one? The second one. I'm tripping. Why am I tripping? That way had the him reading the letter throughout the whole album. A thing. The Steppers, which I did not like at all.
To Pimp a Butterfly.
Oh, To Pimp a Butterfly. Thank you. To Pimp a Butterfly. It was a theme. It had, he sampled every song from the 70s. Like, that nigga's an artist. Super Bowl. That nigga performs and it's he's an old school artist. It's a theme.
What was it? Was it, it was one of the Spike Lee movies.
He does themes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
J. Cole is just a rapper. Like, that nigga just raps. There's really no process or thought in terms of like, but Drake is one of the greatest entertainers of our time. Like, in terms
I even heard 7 minute drill was like an ode to something he does in the studio. He gives himself 7 minutes and was like, let's write, let's produce, and let's write a song. Everybody go. You got 7 minutes. So to your point,
he's a rapper.
It's there. He's a rapper.
Yeah, he's a rapper, but he don't, his performances are just him rapping. His bodies of work are just him rapping. There's really no cohesive feeling to him, you know what I'm saying? Like, but then like Drake, he's known for his shows. That's what niggas always on tour. You know what I'm saying? Like, is he a rapper? Drake can rap. I feel like, here's the thing. I feel like there's nobody that can rap better than Kendrick, Drake, and J. Cole. Rapping better.
Oh yeah, just straight up rap.
Rapping better, nobody. I even feel like they can rap just as good as Jay-Z. I feel like they can rap just as good. Mm-hmm. But I think that was a great point. And Wale is underrated, without a shadow of a doubt.
He really is. And I think he was in those conversations at one point, and then for whatever reason, you know, but there's not one Wale album that I haven't enjoyed.
Wale, and the thing is, because Wale is a mix between all three of them. Mm-hmm. Wale's albums have a theme, like this whole Seinfeld album. That thing, it was an album about nothing, I think it was called. Theme. It was thematic. Mm-hmm. It was what it was. He's emotional like Drake, you know what I'm saying? Then they could rap like J. Cole, like conscious like J. Cole. He has all three of them, but he just... It's kind of like, you know, the nigga that you know, that always comes in fourth. No one cares about you. Because you're never going to be...
You're never on the stage.
You're never on the stage.
Yeah.
Even though if you think about the Olympics, which is coming up this year, the person that comes in fourth in the 100-meter dash is fast.
It's really fast.
fourth fastest person in the world.
Because they may have only lost by a millisecond.
Right. And that's Wale. Like, Wale is like, he's just as good, but you'll never be as good as, in terms of like, the things.
Popularity. But yeah.
Which sucks. But so that's that. So that's the one song of the week. The second one is because of, I just got to do it because it's a rest up and we got to do it. I just got to find the song. What album it's on. I'm tripping and I'm probably going to get talked about. Is it Aquemini? There it goes. Here it goes. All right, that is Spotty Oddy Dopalicious by Outkast. And the reason why I had to do that as a song of the week, because we lost Rico Wade, I'm going to talk about in our rest up report. Mm-hmm. But two songs of the week. One is Poetic Justice, Kendrick Lamar featuring Drake. The second one is Spotty Oddy Dopalicious by Outkast.
What a title.
And this is known for the horns. It's just such a good song. So that's the songs of the week.
All right, and we love it and appreciate it. We do. With that being said, understood and accepted, let's get on down to the Blessed Report and talk about some black excellence.
Let's do it.
In the midst of confusion,
yeah.
In the midst of persecution, the Lord is here. I said, yes, right now.
All right, we're here at the Blessed Report. We shout out black folks doing great black things. Josh and I don't just celebrate and support black businesses during Juneteenth or Black History Month. We celebrate and support black businesses 24/7, 365. And if you have somebody, you know somebody who has a black business, let us know. We would love to bless them up if it makes sense to our podcast. But this week, we are going to bless up Easy Bead and Madeline. I guess we don't know where her last name is because our government is nowhere to be found. But this is Madeline.
She's like she's like Legion from the Risa Tisa. her dad paid to get her identity. She's a private citizen.
So, Easy Bead by Madeline. Listen, hello. She came and went.
Risa Tisa is going to be at Culture Con, though.
Really?
Doing a whole class on the art of storytelling and getting a story out
and
there.
And she can tell a story.
And she was on a Netflix promo, too. So, I don't know if it's still bubbling, but she had a few things right after.
She'll come back. Mm-hmm. Especially if they do like a thing on Netflix about her.
Do a Lifetime or something.
Got to. BET Plus. At least something. Somebody should do one.
Kev on stage. Pick it up.
Pick it up, brother. Easy Bead by Madeline. Madeline is a mom of two who started a company in 2021. Understanding that braiding and beading takes a while, she decided to find a way to simplify. Shout out to my wife who does some braiding and beading for Brooklyn. Or we usually take her to the salon to do it because it makes much more. They do it. It's just taking her to a salon, $100. They take care of it and it lasts a long time. But she created Easy Bead Z to save time and money. At the time, she wanted to help moms to get back to what's more important, which is spending quality time with their family. So part of her mission is to make sure that the beads can be worn at any age. You know, the black girls love the beads and the braids. So Easy Bead Z wants to impact the world by making every woman and child feel unique and beautiful every day. You can go check it out right now at easybead-z.com or on IG at easybead_z. To just follow up and see what they have to offer. I love it because it comes in all colors and all kind of designs and all that kind of cool stuff. So check it out right now and support this black woman, mother of two. She's doing some great things, and we will be supporting because, you know, Brooklyn wears beads every day. So it is what it is.
Shout out to Easy Beads. And I got an Aunt Madeline. She got a last name, but shout out to Easy Beads and Madeline.
Shout out Easy Beads. So we got two rest ups this week, Josh.
Oh, my God.
Two. What does that mean?
God did not stay the hand of death.
He did not. And I'm going to start with...
He let it loose. You see what I did there?
I see that.
The juice
is loose. I'm going to end with the juice. Uh-huh. I'm going to start with Rico Wade. Since we are Atlanta, Rico Wade, one of the architects of the Dirty South hip-hop scene.
Sounds like Lil Rich. Little Richard. The innovator, the emancipator.
You ain't give me nothing.
I want Beyonce to do a Lil Richard sample so bad.
If she does, I would love that.
This is a rock album, I know we want gospel, super side note, but if it's rock,
yeah,
I need Lil Richard all up and through.
Yeah, give us Little Richard. Give us Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry. Your Berry had been smashed.
How they put Chuck Berry after me? I'm Little Richard. Close shut. The show will be over after me. Such a good interview. Such a good interview. Somebody hit the headline. I'm the headliner.
Chuck Berry, your Berry will be matched. That's my favorite part when he talks about Chuck.
I love it. Rico Way, I'm going to do it real quick. Rico Way deserves our time and attention and energy and love. For those that you know don't know, he unfortunately passed with age 52.
Yeah.
Atlanta native. He is responsible for the Dungeon Family Collective. Played a key role in Outkast's 1994 album debut. AT Aliens and all the other albums, he was still, you know, a nice big part of like even of the Quimini and all that kind of stuff as well. Goody Mob, Soul Food, CeeLo Green, pretty much anything that came out of the South at a certain time, Rico was involved in that. TLC, he had some hands in there. Killer Mike and Run the Jewels had some hands in there. So any Atlanta hip hop, you know, if it wasn't Jermaine Dupri or Dallas Austin, Rico Wade was like kind of the guy that was doing the things in Atlanta. So we definitely want to rest up Rico Wade, an innovator and architect of some of Atlanta's hip hop sound in the 90s. So there will be no Outkast without Rico Wade in the Dungeon. There will be no Goody Mob without Rico Wade in the Dungeon. There will be no, you know, CeeLo and all that kind of stuff without Rico and the Dungeon. So rest up to Rico Wade and his family. Rest up Rico Wade, and we are praying for him and his family in this time of need. All right, so the second rest up is the juice is loose, like you said. Orenthal James Simpson.
Orenthal?
He didn't like black women, but his that name is strong and black.
I mean, sumo wrestler.
So, Orenthal James Simpson, better known as O.J. Simpson, is an American football player and actor.
OJ did it.
He played in the National Football League for 11 years, primarily with the Buffalo Bills, and was regarded as one of the greatest running backs of all time. Simpson played college football at USC, fight on. He won a Heisman as a senior, was selected first overall in the 1969 NFL Draft, NFL MVP in 1979, and was the first to rush for 2,000 yards in a season. And that is all he is known for. It's just playing football and doing all the things. That is all we know OJ for. It's just playing football. A life well lived. And that is all we know him for. It's just playing
I also know
football.
Him to possibly be a Kardashian's dad, allegedly. They say Khloe's his real daughter. Just tell the truth. I also know him as he got acquitted for killing that white woman, but he also wrote a book that said, if I did do it, this is how I would have done
it. The audacity of it all. That went on TV, did an interview about it.
Yeah, he's also known for, you know, stealing his own memorabilia from the people who bought it in auction. You know, OJ was a man. He also made the white Bronco an infamous vehicle. you know, he's also known for giving Johnny Cochran one of his most prolific cases and sayings that says, if it does not fit, you must quit. So, you know, OJ didn't live a life, Brian. I don't know, you know, I don't know what narrative you wanted to do here. And I believe that we respect and revere black men. But, you know, Orenthal was a personality. And my dad even texted me and said, despite all he did, the man was a hell of a football player.
He was.
So you and my father, y'all see each other, as NeNe Leakes said. My J.B. Rogers Jr. only wanted to focus on the football.
Listen.
I will say this. Hulu.
Yeah.
That thing with Cuba?
I
knew the verdict. Mm-hmm. And was still sitting on the edge of my seat. That's how well done.
Yeah, that was good.
That thing. I was like, is it going to be good? Like, bro, it took me, and I was like 6, 7 mm-hmm. when that case was happening. Yeah. So I don't remember it live, but I remember it because, you know, it's etched in history, man. So, but nevertheless, OJ was he had a life, he had a soul.
Yeah.
So regardless of what you believe about the afterlife, he saw the man. Mm-hmm. One way or the other. Whether he's going to see him for a long time or going to see him real quick at the end. Either way, he saw the man. So prayers up to the families of Orenthal. Mm-hmm.
Orenthal.
And the family of Rico.
Yeah.
So Usually, yeah, we would bunny hop on down to the Billboard.
Yeah.
But just as Brian and I have talked about evolution, so has the podcast entered its we have the podcast entered its evolution era. Yeah. Y'all known us before, it was like our Beyonce 4. This was Dangerously in Love.
Yeah.
That was 4. That was B-Day. Mm-hmm. We are now entering to our self-titled era.
We are.
Just and what that means is that we're going to always talk about pop culture as we did in our intro, which was probably a lot longer than it'll be most times.
Yeah.
But yeah, we want to really focus on giving you content from the living room. What we found out from you all, our amazing puzzle pieces, is that that's the stuff y'all want.
Right.
And that's the stuff we love to talk about, breaking down things that impact us in life and how we navigate it and literally putting those pieces together. Whether it's just Brian and I in the living room, whether we bring a guest in. And it doesn't mean that we won't ever provide you perspective from a pop culture standpoint, right? There are going to be things that we base conversations on and use them as frameworks, as we always do. There's going to be time we have Culture Code episodes, right? And we're just going to do a full Billboard episode. Like, those things are not going to go away. But from a week-to-week basis, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Yeah.
So with that being said, understood and accepted, let's grab our snacks, grab our drinks, grab everything we need. Let's go down to the living room and have this good conversation.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are now in the living room. Thank you for sticking around for the things and all the happenings that are happening in the world. Again, what Josh was saying, we've kind of gone into this space where we've been really, over the last couple of weeks, have been a little more introspective, right?
Yeah.
Talking about our lives, our hopes, our dreams, evolution, all those kind of things. And there was a topic, and I was actually talking to somebody recently. I think I might have made a post about something too, like that, you know, I love Jesus, I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled.
He's my savior.
When storms are raging.
Uh-huh. He's my shelter where he leads me. Hey,
I will follow. Why?
I love Jesus. He loves me.
I love him. And we love Jesus. But I put a post out there on the Facebook. And it basically like, I love Jesus. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. But if smoke of thou wanteth, smoke of thou wilt get. And that made me think that like, oftentimes, you may see me as this corporate individual.
You're a corporate baddie.
Corporate baddie. You may see me as a church person.
Yeah.
But at the core, I'm really, if I can say this, I'm a nigga. Like I'm from Pomona, California. Never would have thought it. Like at my core, like that's me. You may see the corporate, you may see the church, but like at the core, niggas can get it, right?
And I feel essential.
Right. And I feel like sometimes people don't see those parts of you, but also people don't believe that there are multiple facets of individuals because you may present certain things because you're in certain spaces. So we kind of want to talk about that being multifaceted or really being that and that, but still being who you are. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm that and that, but I'm still me. So we're going to kind of break down some of those things today and also kind of, you know, maybe confess some of those things and who we are, some things that people may not be able to see or have not seen before, and kind of let y'all know like who we really are. Even though we're pretty transparent on the mic here.
Sure.
And in a lot of spaces, but some maybe confess some things that we may have done or may not have done to kind of let people know who we are. So get into that first question, Josh.
Yes.
What does it mean to be a multifaceted man to you?
Oh my God.
I know you multi-hyphenated it. I know you do all the things. You're Jamaican.
And
you
I was about to go there because I think that makes it kind of feeds into what it means to, in some cases, being multifaceted.
Yeah.
Right? I think if to me, okay, so the difference for multifaceted, multi-hyphenated means that you have several jobs, hobbies, things that you could be known for. But also being multifaceted, I think, is a almost synonymous with multi-hyphenate because some people think of multi-hyphenate as husband, father, employee, right? They don't, they don't even take it to like, I'm a DEI person, I'm a journalist, I'm a this, I'm a that.
Yeah.
But multifaceted, I think, it kind of speaks to the concept we talked about in the past around duality.
Yeah.
And sometimes the duality is not just the limited to the one and two.
Yeah.
The duality means that there are several layers to the coin.
Yeah.
Right. I can be a quarter, nickel, and a dime.
Right.
And a penny.
That's top of the line.
You know what I'm saying? Top of the line. Cute face. Behind. I need a dime. Shout out to the millennials. We had songs.
We
had songs. That 2000s was an era.
Nigga.
But to that point, the reason why I gave the thing about the coins, though, because I think intrinsically, when you're multifaceted, just because there's a certain value in certain spaces, it's necessary. Like, so, like, for example, if you're at a vending machine, it only is going to take quarters, mm-hmm. right, in some cases. And it could take dimes and stuff, but they may not take pennies. But if you're filling out the little penny thing that your grandma had, it's only pennies, right? So the worth of it, right, is necessitated usually by the environment, the ecosystem. Yeah. And I think that is the different facets of who it is. Like,
yeah.
I tell people all the time, one of my party tricks is that I was a minister of music. Mm-hmm. I am not in any case the best pianist out there. But yeah. when I was actively playing, I could hold my own in a church service.
Yeah.
Right. So if you take me to a room today, the value of me as a musician is down here. But it doesn't mean that I still couldn't get on in front of some keys
yeah.
and make something happen. And
right.
pretty and you know, and put especially put me in a 5-4-5 piece band, mm-hmm. I'm definitely gonna thrive. I'm gonna feed off everybody else.
Right.
So that's what I mean by like your worth and your value and things like that. Because I am worth it, right? But I have these different versions of me that may not always, some may be stronger than the other. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think about multifaceted in that case, that there is duality. And then not even just taking away from worth.
Yeah.
Just looking at it at a base level of being multifaceted and being able to enjoy certain things. Being confident in the... Oh man, and the complication almost of yeah. who you are
yeah.
without being necessarily fake and putting on here's a way that I can bring it home.
Yeah.
Who I am on TikTok is different than who I am on Instagram is different yeah. than who I am on Facebook.
Yes.
Right. At the core, it's all Josh.
Yeah.
But on TikTok, I'm really a lurker. I don't post yeah. too much of anything of my own content. I right. may post a video here or there.
Yeah.
But like you may not know much about me at all other than my bio and the one or two posts that is there. So
right.
I'm kind of a mystery on yeah. TikTok. On Facebook, you're going to see more family, more Christian-oriented content.
Yeah,
and definitely. Not that I'm ashamed in other platforms. I cry loud, spreading out on Instagram too.
Ooh, talk about glory.
But... and the difference is, it's really the audience
yeah.
and the makeup of the platform.
Definitely.
Instagram isn't really made for me to write long, robust posts
at all
and things like that, right? And then my mama, my aunties, my, you know, my other people are on there. And it's not to say that I'm ashamed of anything that I would do, but I could post the same picture and my picture on Instagram may have a Drake caption, like mm-hmm. the lyric.
Yeah.
And if I'm on Facebook, it could be like having fun in Dubai.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't mean that I wouldn't post a Drake lyric on there, but there's a slew of my audience who is not going to know anything mm-hmm. about this lyric. Right.
At all.
It's not going to resonate. So it's not that I'm misrepresenting myself. I understand who I'm talking to.
Yeah. Your audience right? is
so,
different.
Yes, yeah. So I'm not cussing. I'm not out of character. It's just like, but Drake has that lyric. I know you ain't never been to the top because I'm at the top. Right. Mm-hmm. And you can see me on the rooftop. That could yeah. be the thing. Facebook, it could literally be wife and I enjoying rooftop vibes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, same thing,
yeah.
different, communicated different to the audience. So that's what I mean by multifaceted. Like, I can be the same Josh, but you may, like, who Brian is in his corporate space, using that, is yeah. very different than who Brian is at church.
Yeah.
And probably different than who Brian is at home.
Yeah,
right. And then different than who Brian is with his boys, right? But at his core, Brian is Brian.
Yeah.
And I think all of us have that. It's a matter of how we embrace it
yeah.
and live it out and make those different versions of us connect and become this one.
Yeah.
As Big Mama Joe said in Soul Food, you put them together, strike a mighty blow. Mm-hmm. Like how do we put the different fingers together to make the fist? And
yeah.
I think that's how we bring multifacetedness, if that's a word, to the forefront. How
yeah.
about for you?
Yeah, I agree. It's like, I don't know if you might be too young. You watch Captain Planet?
But I'm not that much younger than you.
Captain well, Captain Planet, for those that don't know, is all your powers combined, you make up Captain Planet. So like earth, yeah. wind, fire, whatever, earth, wind, fire, the elements, whatever it was. And it creates this superhero. And I feel like that's mm-hmm. what multifaceted are. We are all these different things
yeah.
and it makes us who we are. And then depending on what's needed, at the time is what's going to be displayed, right? Because you can't like we bring up Insecure all the time. Like what's the girl who Molly had to who warned?
I can't remember her name, but the young attorney, yeah, but the summer associate. Yep,
I'm her some days, and I'm Molly some days. You know what I'm saying? And Molly was her hanging out with Issa and her friends at Coachella. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So Molly was that girl and is that girl who was like, hey, you can't be that girl fully here at work. Mm-hmm. And understanding that, like, you know, even though that is you, you know, like, hey, listen, girl, it ain't gonna work here, right? And that's, and it's not that we are code switching or doing.
Some of it is code switching.
True, true.
I would say that it's not that we're inauthentic. I think we understand who needs to show, what facet of us needs to show up in spaces, as you were alluding to earlier. Yeah.
Great point. Yeah, yeah. Touche. So, yeah, so I feel like no one would need to show up. And it's not like you're not being authentic. It's just the fact of, like, I can't be loud in this moment because I need to present this. Because if I don't present this, then what I'm presenting may not get received in that environment. Like, it's when at church, like, same thing at church. Like, you know, we understand the different spaces that we have to be in. We also understand, like, you know, if you go to what's that place that's in that we Gypsy Mistress. What is the place that what's that the bar that we can go to? We went to when I crossed. What's the name of that place?
Oh, Whiskey Mistress.
Whiskey Mistress. I'm not giving corporate in Whiskey Mistress. I'm not giving church in Whiskey Mistress. I'm giving outside streets. Talking loud and, you know, shoulders.
Talking loud and doing the
doing the things, right?
There you go.
So different places call for different things, right? Yeah. So confession time, all right? It's a twofold question.
Okay.
What is a part of you that you don't often show but you know exists? And then the follow-up will be, is there a story that you can share that may shock the people that would kind of explain who you are? That most people don't know, or people that listen to this podcast be like, oh, I never heard that before.
Okay. A facet of me that a lot of people, unless you're really close to me, don't see is that I can be moody.
Okay.
Different times I woke up and just been like, nope, not feeling kind today. Don't talk to me. And it could not, in not, nothing wrong. I just don't be feeling it. I ain't feeling depressed. I just don't want to ask you. When we first got married, it bothered her. What is wrong with why you ain't talking? Girl, I ain't got nothing to say. Now, if you keep asking me what's wrong with me, then we gonna have a problem eventually. I told you once. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I don't want to talk. I want to be quiet. I just want to chill, you know? So I can be that, and I feel comfortable being that around. Because I'm never rude unless I'm pushed when I'm moody. But there are also times when I get overwhelmed. Like, this week has been overwhelming, which is why I'm glad that I took the time to consecrate. Because I can get moody when I'm overwhelmed. Like,
crucifying your flesh.
Listen. Because when that flesh is exposed, you know, you don't know who you're going to get. And sometimes the people who are closer to you get the brunt of that because they are the closest. And then you got to put on for work and calls and meetings, and that's draining. Then, you know, so anyway, so that is a version of me that I don't think people can see. One thing I think people do see, why that version may not be surprised, is because I've heard that I can be hard to approach. I heard I've suffered from resting B face.
You are a Morehouse man and you are a Kappa. So let's,
you know, but I've heard that before. Both of those things are true. I've heard that. And I think it's because, like, sometimes I really do just be in deep thought. There are other times when I hear crazy stuff, my face will speak before my mouth utters a word. So you can be looking at me in the room, and I'd be like, and then, you know, you probably think I'm dying to talk to him. But at the same time, I'm not always conscious of that. As I've gotten older, I've consciously tried to work on it, but I also know I've had people come up to my friends and be like, man, Josh seems cool, but I don't know how to get to him. And they'll tell him, if you speak, I promise you, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And I am. Like, if you speak to me, I'm going to be nice, I'm going to be kind, I'm going to laugh, I'm going to joke. Don't come in with no mess and no nonsense. Then you might get what you expected.
Listen, hello.
But if you come at me just on some, what's up, how you doing, blah, 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 then we cool. You know, I ain't got no reason to. But I am conscious of that. So I try not to specifically in this new role I'm walking in,
yeah,
I try to make sure I have a little smile on my face, a little joyful disposition, because, you know, you got to be, you know, as Paul said, I become all things for all people. Mm-hmm. So I try to be in that space. So I would say that's something, because even with the resting face, mm-hmm. I don't think some people who don't know me don't know that it's something I am self-aware of, and I work on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, like, it's not that I'm just like, stay away from me. But, like, I'm actively working on being more approachable, and I'm hoping that people would approach me if they want to in the respectful way, you know, open to do that. A story that will reveal something about me that people may or may not know. I probably have, most of them probably come from childhood, and I'll keep them brief. I'm the only boy among my siblings, which meant that I could not get out a lot of my boy energy in the ways that, like, Brian, you probably could have. I'm pretty sure you and your brothers fought and wrestled. And I had two childhood best friends that went to my church, and we grew up like cousins. Mm-hmm. They were also Rogers because we went to a church full of Rogers.
Your pastor's last name was Rogers.
Yeah, yeah. And my mom married a Rogers. And so, and then my mom was best friends with Pastor Rogers' sister. Mm-hmm. So they just, without any, not even like, y'all cousins. So we ran with it, right? Mm-hmm. We was like quintessential black cousins, like, you know what I'm saying, in the culture way. So I grew up with Brandon and Henry, were my childhood best friends. I mean, when you saw one, you saw all three of us.
Yeah.
And as we got older, of course, life took us in different paths. But that's only isolated to like weekends, church events. We did sleepovers, like we spent the night at each other's house. But that wasn't all the time. So on a daily, when I need to get this boy energy out, you know, I put on skates and we had a high porch. So I jumped off the skates porch with skates. And I stuffed my drawers with a whole roll of tissue. And Rashonda was like, my older sister was like, it's not going to work. I was like, yes, it is. It's going to work. All this tissue in my butt. And I almost broke my tailbone. Because that skate slipped up under me and boom.
Boom.
My mom came home from work early. We had a built-in shelf in our den.
Mm-hmm.
106 and Park was a thing. I'm standing on top of the shelf dancing, doing my own music videos. Rashonda and Jessica sitting on the couch, like, my mama's standing in the hall, in the doorway, just watching. And and I look, and I just climbed down real slow. Like, I was that kid. Like, bunch of energy, probably should have been on an ADHD medication.
That's
like,
funny.
For real, for real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm sure.
But you know, you ain't put my baby on that, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I probably should have, because I was the kid. I broke everything.
Mm-hmm.
We had a ceiling fan in our home that I tried to swing from a towel.
My God.
And it didn't break, thank God, from the ceiling, but it never stopped spinning. You could go to the breaker, Brian, and turn it off. That thing kept spinning. I messed up the motor. I took a safety pin and carved designs into my dresser because I got bored. I was like,
Jesus.
Artistic. Mama beat the fool out of me for messing up the project. And some of that still carries over today. Like, I don't know if y'all ever know, the people who see the clips, if y'all ever see me down in my lap, it's because I have fidget things in my hand.
Yeah.
I legit feel like I got a little ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to keep my hands busy. I have to keep my mind. I've learned coping tools.
Yeah.
But that was a real part of Josh.
Yeah.
My intrusive thoughts used to get the best of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just be like, ooh, jump off, go to the roof.
Do it.
Oh. Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
You'll be fine.
Like, bro, when I first started cooking, this is the last thing. I made a meat casserole. And I told my parents. They was like, what is that?
Meat casserole.
Bro, I should be dead.
So what was it?
So basically, it's like a lasagna, but the noodles is bacon. So
what?
It was a layer of bacon, then ground beef. A layer of bacon. I took all the leftover meat, like chicken. A layer of ground beef. Bro, then I topped it with cheese.
Oh, you should have died.
It was a thick piece of just every
meat. What?
Intrusive. Because I was like, what would a meat casserole taste like? I said, I'm going to take all. My mom was mad because I took all her meat.
Oh my gosh.
But I will say, it that level of ingenuity and my parents like shaking their heads at me allowed me to be like, when Brian, even though I haven't done it, like when Brian said, oh, we talked about what would it like to have a flavor magazine, I mean, you'd be like, you know what? Ooh. Like, that level of ingenuity that I have as an adult was birthed, like, my parents not killing that.
Yeah.
So that's where it came from. So those are a few little stories. But how about you, Brian?
Unless you're close to me. Mm-hmm. You probably wouldn't know that I'm with the smoke. Like,
I just randomly want to get into action. Like on some, I want somebody to like do something to me so I have a reason to do something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
I think I've texted y'all before, like, oh, I can get into a fight right now. Like, I just want to get the,
my God,
the aggression out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if people like honk at me, pull over. Like, it's, let's get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like the Incredible Hulk. Like, I'm cool. I'm calm.
What's that green stuff?
But like, once you get me to a place, mm-hmm. we there. We're going there. Mm-hmm. So people are probably wouldn't believe that because I'm so calm, so nice. But
so does it anybody take real work for you to be centered?
Yeah. So when I was younger, and again, you said you needed to be on ADHD. I needed to be in therapy when I was a kid.
Okay.
I was just angry. I was an angry kid. Angry, mad at the world. I used to fight every day. I used to get kicked out of school. I used to get suspended. I was on ISS, in school suspension, many times. Like, I used to throw, nigga, I used to throw chairs at teachers.
I mean, well, side note, Keith Lee told a story about he had like a similar childhood, fighting and all this kind of
bro,
stuff.
Bro, I used to fight, like, took nothing. If I lost, fighting. If I won, fighting. I used to just want the smoke. I just, you know, and then like, it's just, so then I was always angry. Mm-hmm. So then I overcorrected. So then I was like, I'm going to be nice and smiling and cheerful to everybody. So, but what that ends up doing is you suppress the like real you. So like, it's like the Hulk, like the nigga, we'd be like, oh, I had 280 days and 12 minutes without a Hulk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But inside I'm like, ooh, like I need to, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want somebody to say something to me today so I can do this, right? I remember we'd get into like all kind of fights, and you know, gang fights and like street fights, nigga, just, and be like, oh, somebody said something to you? Oh, bet, like who is it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm in my core, I'm that guy. Like, let's go get it. Let's go, you know, if oh somebody said something to you, let's go find them. That person. A story. Let me tell y'all how I got escorted out of Children's Healthcare of Atlanta.
Oh, this sounds probably recent.
Oh yeah,
it's I don't recent. Know why you have been at a Children's Hospital in Atlanta at all.
Yeah, it's been the last couple of years.
Okay. I'm saying, because Brooklyn ain't that old, so this is
she's
recent.
Not. She's go four. Ahead. She's four. I guess, let me tell you how I got escorted out of Children's Healthcare Atlanta. So I'm at home, working, minding my own business. I get a call from Lauren. She says, hey, Brooklyn School called and said she was sick. She's like shivering. She's throwing up. She's like really sick. Mm-hmm. And Brooke don't really get sick, but she was like really sick to where they had to call and have us pick her up. Mm-hmm. So I think she was like, well, they had called me. I'm already on my way to get Brooke. Meet me at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. I said, okay. Bet. Perfect. So I get my car. And I'm already tripping because it's like, you know, my daughter's sick and she don't normally get sick. So as a parent, you're already concerned on your own high level because your child is sick. So we're going to take it to the urgent care at the hospital. So I get in my car. I get there. And we're driving different cars. And I'm like, Brooklyn is sick. She's, you know, how about you do this? Go inside, put Brooklyn on the list. I will hold Brooklyn in the car. And then we just let us know when it's time for us to come in. So I'm sitting in the car waiting for Brooklyn. Lady Lauren puts him on the list. They're like, all right, she comes back. And then I guess we're waiting in the car for like some time. And I'm like, what's taking so long? So I was like, can you go inside and see, like, what's taking so long? So I'm like, it's a child that's sick. You think it would be urgent? So she goes inside and said, she called me from the car and is like, hey, and she's kind of upset. Like, they took Brooklyn's name off the list because she wasn't inside at the time that they called her. Mm-hmm. So I'm livid. I'm like, come outside now. Come get Brooklyn. I'm coming inside. So I walk in the door and I'm already seeing red because my child is sick. My wife called me frantic. like upset. So I'm already on 1,000. So I walk in the door and I say, Lauren, who is it? Because I need to know who I'm about to just destroy. So I get in there and I have to wait in line. So I'm upset because there's a person in front of me, but she points to who the person is. So it's immediately once the person, she finishes helping that person, I'm going off. Like, who do you think you are? Like, why would you ever, why is my child's name not on that list? Like, what is, I'm going in. Like, and then the lady, she's getting an attitude. She's like, well, I don't know who you think you're talking to. I'm like, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You're the only person standing there. So she's, I don't know. She's doing all this stuff. And then she gets to a point where she's not even talking to me anymore. She's talking to her coworker about me. We don't do that.
Oh yeah, no.
So
we don't do that.
So just to let y'all know, one thing I don't take, if you try to count me down and be like, well, first ain't no first, right? If you try to like talk around me, it's just gonna get worse. We don't do those things. So I'm going off, I'm loud, I'm just letting the woman of God have it. Her edges looked a mess, her quick weave was terrible. She looked like her man dropped her off in her car to work. I was professional in terms of like talking about the situation, but I'm going in and I am livid. Then the security guard, the manager comes out, security guard comes, and it's like, sir, we're gonna have to ask you to leave. Like, come on, let's just walk outside. Security guard came, took me outside, because I was going off. Like Jesus in the temple. Nigga, I was that. I wanted to be like Jesus. I was that nigga. And I'm going off. But just to let y'all know, her name was put on the list on the front. The manager came and apologized to me because he was like, I don't know why she was taking off the list. I'm like, why would you take a sick child off of a list? And we're sitting there waiting in the car. Why wouldn't you just say, hey, or when Lauren came inside, say, hey, the child needs to be here when we call the name, blah, 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 blah. Like, why didn't you say that at the time? Her customer service was trash, but like, that's an example. Like when it comes down to it, like I'm a go. I'm not afraid of nobody. I'm not afraid of nothing. Like let's get it, because it's just something I'm not going to tolerate. One thing I'm not going to tolerate, and you know, as my friend Chris knows this, I don't play about the people that I care about. I do not. Like, if I was going to say hiding bodies and stuff like that, but if it came down to it, I'm the guy that I'm a ride for my people. I love my people. So I'm with the smoke. That's an example that people probably look at me and be like, oh, he's nice. He's always smiling. He's always cheerful. He's always helping. He's always kind. But I'm like David, right? The duality of David. Right. I'll write the poetry and the love songs and be in the clouds and the frolicking and the, oh, I just, you know. But that's the same nigga that was killing animals with his bare hands and killing Goliath and killed 10,000 Philistine. Like, I'm that guy. I can do both.
And got a woman's husband killed just
because. Just because. I'm that guy. I'm to my core, and they say Gemini stuff, but to my core, I'm both. And I'm a killer, but I'm also like a person that is a lover. So you wouldn't kill, but and that's kind of the crux of the conversation is like, you can be both. And I guess my thing is, how do you balance the different parts of you and not letting them cannibalize each other, but also being comfortable with the fact that like you are, and you're aware of the fact that you are all these things, some good, some bad, but also I feel like I need my aggressive person. I need that. If I don't have it, then I may be too meek, too humble. You know what I'm saying? Like, so how do you feel like you balance those facets of you?
It's hard because to that point, I know I joke around a lot, you know, going back to my original answer, I do have resting B face that I work on, but I also know that I can be snarky. Mm-hmm. I can't, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can be a little like, what, you know what I'm saying? I'm a real, I don't care type of nigga.
Yeah.
And will go with you. Like when I joke around and say stuff like NeNe Leakes is my godmother, it's because I read my children for feels.
You do.
Yeah, like Josh had on, like Josh, here's an example, just yesterday. Mm-hmm. Josh didn't wash his band shirt in time. Uh-huh. So he had another band shirt and it shrunk a little bit. So, you know, it ain't too little, but it's a little, you know, he sit up a little high. And he's tried to get smart with me.
And I said, you and your crop top can get out of my face. Right? And I just, and he was like, daddy.
It came out of nowhere.
But it was just like, yeah. Don't do, and some, and so to the balance, I can do, I try not to do people at work. You know how Nene would be like, I see you and your glasses. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, black people are good for those type of things. Yeah. And so how do I do both? Yeah. I think for me, to your point, I try not to overcompensate because I don't ever want to be like inauthentic to me, but you know, and I get it, bro. Like, you probably feel like in a space, like, I have to over course correct. Cause if I don't, right? And sometimes prison. I felt like that too, especially like I've been tested at work and in academic settings, and I'd be like, ooh, Josh, if you don't put on that corporate real quick, I'm about to go off. I went off in an email to my son's principal about something.
Yeah.
And we went off.
Yeah. Yeah.
2.5 pages worth of off.
Oh, that's right? Good.
Yeah. I mean, I quoted district policies. I was boom, boom, boom. I mean, fingers was going.
Yeah.
And to me, that's when it needed to be necessary.
Yeah.
I was using all my SAT vocabulary words too. I was going in. So I think the balance is knowing when that needs to show up.
Mm-hmm.
I think in so many spaces, you know how you've said in church where it was like, you know, it's cliche and I roll my eyes when I hear it.
Yeah.
But they say, when you turned up in the club, just take that same energy and give it to God. Like, you know, whatever. But I also feel like that there is a time where we have to, like, who we are and those versions of us, like, they're necessary in some spaces.
Without a
maybe
doubt,
not like for you, maybe not to the point where you're going to jail, but to the point to where, like, you know, but like if it takes me going off because my child, my child is over here fighting for her life,
yeah,
and y'all done took her off the emergency list, and we, you know, like, no, you're about to get this smoke, right? Yeah. I said that I need to show up, right? Yeah. There could be other times to where, like, I think for me, it's triggered when it's my children, my wife, probably my parents, my friends.
Yeah.
That's probably when it's going to be triggered the most, when you're really playing me and I am as a person. And I take it as a corporate space, because there are times like my work and my corporate job, my main 9-to-5, is very intersectional, not just in its, like, in a theoretical sense, but quite literally, because it's so cross-functional. And there are people be like, well, Josh, you're doing this and this is really my lane. And I had to tell them, I had to show up.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, scale it back a tad, but I have to show up and let you know, like, I'm not this dude.
Yeah.
Right. And I may still look young, because some of them don't even think I'm 34. Mm. Right. They still think I'm that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. Think I'm like 27, 28. But because of that, they feel like they can, like, kind of sun me.
Yeah.
And I have to be like, nah, bro, I'm mid-30s.
Yeah.
I literally graduated Morehouse May 20th and started working May 21st.
Right.
Right. Like, I've been in corporate America since I dropped.
Yeah.
Off the stage, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I have the years, I have the degrees. And as Beyonce, you know, most famously said in one of her songs, this is a reminder.
Mm.
And I think every now and then, gotta
remind the people.
Every now and then, you got to remind the people that you're not the one or the two, the three or the four.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it is okay. So it doesn't mean that I got something to prove or I'm like out here just going crazy. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people, I think they forget.
Yeah.
Who you are, what you're capable of, or maybe they're even unaware. And sometimes it is our responsibility. How we manage that is understanding when and where you got to let the people know, and then figuring out how much I want to let the people know. And not the exposure information, but like, how much do I really want to give them this version of me that may, and it's just, and it's not all negative, because sometimes you don't need the extra nice version of me either. Like, sometimes you don't need, sometimes you need the tough love.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to see that I'm this in that moment, because I need you to hear me in a specific way.
Right.
Right? So anyway, I measure that by how do I need to show up? Because Josh going to show up regardless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But how does Josh show up? And depending on the emotion, the whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent,
right?
What scale am I landing on?
Mm-hmm.
Is it 1 or 10 or 8 or 7 or 6.5? Yeah. What is it?
Listen, and I think the situation calls for that. Within that, it seems like time is already running quickly. Kind of segueing a little bit, right? So I know within that, having multiple people inside of you, which sounds weird, I'll pause. Yes. Having being multifaceted. Whoa.
That took a turn. It likes to party, and you got to tell them no.
Oh my gosh, that was terrible. Being multifaceted, right? Oftentimes they're going to come to a level of internal conflict with decision making. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, you know, wanting to do right and live right, but also wanting to do hood rat things with your friends. Right. And spring is here.
Spring has sprung.
And I'm going to kind of put all the questions, the last questions, kind of, so we can close it out all at the same time. Okay. Spring is here. Spring has sprung. Hoochie Daddy season, Hoochie Daddy short season is upon us. I'm literally wearing the Hoochie Daddies right now. Outside is going to be open. Right now, we got Claritin, got all that kind of stuff to make sure you know the allergies are good.
I'm on Zyrtec like a junkie. As Project Pat said, I'm popping something like a junkie popping pills, my friend. That's why I am on Zyrtec.
So right now, the decisions have to be made. Yeah. The internal conflict is going to be there. How do you handle making decisions when you want to do right? As the Bible would say, you know, there's a war in my flesh. There's a war in my members, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when I would do right, evil is always present. There's always going to be a time where there's going to be an eternal conflict of wanting to do right, but also do the hood rat things with your friends, because we are, in some essence, hood rats, and we want to do the hood rat things with our friends. Yeah. So how do you make those determinations and the decisions on, you know, what you should and should not do, or what you should do?
I let the maturity of my convictions lead me.
Okay.
So I think we talked about this in a previous conversation, but I would kind of summarize it in this way. Everything that was traditionally wrong or frowned upon, mm-hmm. I think I approach it in a new way that I learned. Not in a new way, because I learned it a while ago, but my new way of thought is taking from a concept I learned in philosophy in college.
Yeah.
Is it morally, socially permissible at the moment?
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
So, for example, we have something that we have scheduled on May 3rd. Yes. Your chapter has an event. Mm-hmm. And he was like, let's go to that event. I got to preach 2 days later.
Yeah.
So am I going to the event still? Yes. I'll be honest with you. Am I going to be the same Joshua I was at that event last year? No.
Oh.
And yeah. That's how.
We had a time.
And I didn't even do anything wrong or bad, but it's just I'm going to be much more chill and reserved. But I do want to be at this event with my frat brothers.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a way that I can. And if I get closer to it and be like, the more I think about it, Brian, bro, I'm just going to go home. Right. Yeah. And I'm willing to allow my convictions to lead me in that space. But as of now, I'm just like, no, I like, because we also live in Atlanta. So let me just break it down a little bit. Right. So it's a. Brian's chapter's had, well, my chapter halfway. It's having a it's having a Cinco de Mayo event. And you know, the blacks love Cinco de Mayo.
We do.
But like on Cinco de Mayo weekend, that's quite literally nowhere in Atlanta. If I go out to eat, that's gonna be like calm.
Yeah.
Unless I go to Golden Corral and I don't eat that, right? Like everybody, even places that don't sell Mexican food probably gonna have a taco on their menu.
Yeah.
Because they know the blacks.
We have a margarita. We have co-opted tacos. Yes.
Cinco de Mayo. So does that mean Josh gonna have a margarita? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that Josh thinks having a margarita is wrong? Also not. It just means that I understand my assignment for the weekend.
Right.
Which means that it is a choice based on my own personal conviction and choices not to fully indulge and engage. But it doesn't mean that if Brian said, let's go get tacos, I ain't going to get tacos. Right. I'm just gonna have a ginger ale. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
That's just what it means. So how do I make the choice? I make it from that standpoint. And it's not always like, oh, I got to preach, so I'm going to be on my best behavior. But sometimes it's just like, I ain't feeling it. Yeah. Or it's just like, oh, I want so. And I think it's also, the Bible says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. For me, what that means is that it's not so much as getting caught. It's mm-hmm. also about understanding the responsibility of who you are.
Yeah.
So that means that in some spaces, I think I mentioned to you do this before in private. One of my favorite spots in Atlanta is Holiday Bar. Right? Mm-hmm. It's literally like a bar, but it's outside. They serve, of course, alcohol, but they also serve coffee and things like that. And it's a beautiful atmosphere and it's chill. I like it because of its real laid back and chill ambiance. Yeah. However, so even who I am today, I'll still pull up the Holiday Bar and, you know, and catch up with my friends.
Yeah.
But what it doesn't mean is that there could be a time of night that I don't go to Holiday Bar.
Yeah.
Right? Because of ABC 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
So I think it is understanding who you are, how you're navigating the world. Even Jesus couldn't do miracles in his own city because they knew him.
Yeah.
Right. So on the flip side of that, maybe I can't go to Holiday Bar at 9 p.m. because everybody knows who I am.
don't mean I'm doing anything wrong, but just seeing me there can mean the thing. Versus I go to LA, there's a similar holiday bar, I can pull up. Don't nobody know me. And again, still not doing anything wrong, but the narrative and the and everything around it does not exist. And as you go higher, as you get more exposure, then of course what you do is different. But it's not to say that I can't exist, I can't be. My decision-making skills is usually very serendipitous. Like, I know what I want to do, but in the moment, it's almost like, all right, cool, I hear you, God. And God has not let me down in that space. Right. Now, a lot of times he has left me hanging, and I ask him real quick, and he'd be quiet. But to me, that level of silence is almost like your mama when you ask her questions like, nigga, you know better. Like, why are you even asking me? And I'm asking because I want you to say, I want you to say no. Or I want you to go ahead and say it's cool. But your silence is telling me, I know better. Right. So that's how I've lived my life. I know what is wrong. I know what is permissible. I know where I am. I'm very conscious of my environment. And it's the last thing I say, and I'll cap it up for me in this way, is that part of my decision making also allows me to understand who is there around me. Who is my covering? Where are my friends? Who can see what I can't see? And the same thing I do for my other friends. So like, even like with Brian, like I may be like, hey, whoa, hold on, bro. Come here. Come here real quick. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just the thing, or send me your location. Cause I need to know where you at. Right. Just so I can know. So it's a, so again, it's not a hiding, but it is a way of making sure my brother is good. This is, you know, everything is on the up and up so that people don't have the time to create narratives. Or even beyond that, we're not setting our own selves up for some type of internal sabotage. That could hinder us in a future context.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I feel like, cause you know, the Bible talks about everything is lawful, but not expedient. So like we have the freedom, the sovereignty that God allows us to do whatever we want to do. You had something. What were you gonna say?
No, I was only gonna say, and even in that, because you mentioned specific things, like I'm, because so even in all of that, I'm wearing Hoochie Daddy shorts all summer because I like those shorts. Like I don't want no long shorts past my knees. Who am I? I'm not my father. I'm still getting another tattoo this summer and one this winter. It's just who I like. Nothing about who I am and who I'm becoming, even as early, even as close as who I'm becoming this Sunday, is going to change that. So that's part of my decision making. Some things are just inherent to Josh. And I'm not going to deny those things because I don't have any convictions at all. About those particular things. It is more of the cultural stuff that I can be, you know.
And I feel like with the thing that I said all the time, like, you know, things are lawful, not expedient. We talked about before that there's black, there's white in Bible and biblical things like that. But most of it's gray and it's up to the leading of the Holy Ghost to kind of let you know. But also leading up like your convictions, right? Because some things that may be convicting to other people may not be convicting to me and vice versa. So within that, like, you know, I have a tat on my leg, right? That may be convicting somebody, oh, I can't handle a tattoo. But if it, you mean to tell me I got this beautiful tat on my leg and I'm not going to be having these hoochies on during the summer? I think not. Like, I'm showing the things off, right? So it's within that. And usually we're both in ministry. So that's another layer to these things. So we kind of have to move, like, to your point, a little differently than somebody who may not be in ministry. And it's not that we're moving inauthentically. And not thinking about ourselves.
It's a higher level of consciousness.
Because now we're thinking about, you know, and it's a fine line of thinking about other people's perceptions because people, I don't care about what people think. I do to a certain extent because I understand that if, you know, if my witness or my, or your, you know, even though it shouldn't be the case, but something I may do can affect the lives of many, right? And you kind of have to waver and allow the Lord to be like, hey, should I do this? Can I not do this? Because I don't want to affect somebody's life, right? So I think we both agree in wrapping this part up that summer's out, thigh's going to be out, who's your daddy's going to be on, outside's going to be outside, we're going to be outside this summer, and we're going to have a ball and have a great time in the Lord.
In the Lord. Because the Lord. And I'm going to throw this last piece out there because my bucket list still includes going to Coachella at some point. Right? How I navigate Coachella is, I think, and here's the thing.
Differently.
Remember me differently. Remember me different. I ain't gonna navigate it like her. But I think here's the real encapsulating thing for that for me, Brian.
Yeah.
I can go to Coachella, but how I show up at Coachella, it's kind of like the whole conversation, how I show up is going to what's make the difference. I don't think anybody would judge us for going to Coachella.
Not at all.
But if we had a Tiffany moment.
Oh, yeah.
Or a Kelly moment, rather, at Coachella, then it's like, all right, boys. What y'all out here doing?
Doing too much.
Y'all out here on Molly and getting tased and peeing on yourselves. Like, no.
That's too much.
Right? Yeah. Right? Right? You know what I'm saying? So even with the Cinco de Mayo kind of thing, I can go get the tacos at the Mexican restaurant, but am I on the table dancing and bucking? Like, nah. Like, I want to see my black people thrive, and I'm here to see them, and all right, do y'all thing, and then I'm going home. Because, you know, Atlanta got all these festivals, too. So I feel like we can show up and be present. I'll even say it like this. My pastor did a whole concert at City Winery.
Yeah. Yeah.
The venue is a winery.
Right.
Now, granted, he was doing gospel, but he could have also said, it's a winery. I ain't singing up in there.
I ain't doing that.
Right? I ain't doing that. Right? So I think it's how you show up. And I made that point to say, the space is the space, but how you show up in it is what matters the most. And I think people can say, oh, I saw, unless it's something like a strip club or something like that, then, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat that narrative. Yeah. However, but beyond like something that is like visibly and very plainly like a thing, it's hard to be like, yeah, I saw them there. And what were they doing?
Right.
And how were they presenting? How were they acting? Right. Right. I think those are the questions. Those are the perspectives that we should have. And beyond that, it is what it is.
We are multifaceted men.
We are who we are.
We are who we are. God made us who we are. And we're going to live and walk and embrace that.
And all that. Shout out Roman Collins from American Idol. I think we start the podcast off with him and going up, but he is an example of, I don't know that man personally, but I can even see how old Saints would condemn him for being on American Idol and singing the R&B and blah, 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 blah. But like, no, man, God can
be.
God ain't limited by our limitations.
One of my favorite thing that the Lord gave me is light is only profitable in darkness. Mm-hmm. Like, light means nothing unless you're in the midst of darkness. And we're supposed to be lights. So, like, if we're in a room full of lights, and it's like me having a light outside when it's the middle of the day, that light does not function. It functions, but it don't mean it'll make no sense.
Yep.
Yeah, it makes no sense. So going in those spaces and places and being a light, being kind, being, you know, gentle, being all the things. Is what I think gives God glory in the end. Any closing remarks before we head out to Pockets of Joy?
At the end of the day gonna end.
It is. Glory, Gorilla Hallelujah.
Glory Hallelujah. 316. So, amen. Let's go to Pockets of Joy.
All right, let's do it.
You couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. You could never ever bring me down. Couldn't do it then. Couldn't.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here at Pockets of Joy. For those that are new to the show, this is the space and place we give to talk about what we're doing or planning on doing to intentionally bring us joy. Got to make sure that, you know, this joy that we have, the Lord, you know, the world didn't give, the world can't take it away. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But we got to have intentional joy because the world can kind of be brutal at times. So, Josh, what are you planning on doing or currently doing to bring intentional joy to your life?
Right. So for those who don't know, I just put it out there. I'm being installed in the
glory.
In a pastoral position at my church. And so I got a lot of family coming in and people and friends will be celebrating me. I don't do celebrations well. They're kind of cringy. Something I'm working on. Got a therapist appointment Friday. So I'm going to just embracing the love and I'm sitting in what it means to even be in this space and kind of sitting with that. And then allowing my family to fuel me. Like, I have my chosen family, which are my friends who are here. I talk to all the time. But my family doesn't live here, so they'll all be up in my house, and we'll be laughing and talking and all the things. So, and then, of course, all of us will be together you know, after church and on Sunday celebrating and doing the things and blah, blah, blah. So that's me just sitting in love and being receptive of that. Yeah. About you?
For me, I'm – so I might be getting something new soon. I'm not going to talk about that. I'll talk about it on the cast if everything works out later.
Okay.
But then I might, you know, just throw something on the grill this weekend just because, you know.
It's that season, too.
It's that season. It feels like something needs to go on the grill. So I might just buy some meat and clean my backyard, my deck, my little sitting area, and kind of get ready for the season, right? Get ready for the season. Get ready for, you know, having some good time, some black laughter. I feel like we didn't have enough black laughter last year. I don't think we got together as much because we were busy. We're all busy as friends. But I feel like we probably need a little more black laughter this year and talking loud and red solo cups. So I'm going to create the space and clean out the space so we can have more of black laughter, talking loud, playing games, and drinking out of red solo cups.
Yeah, I'm definitely planning on doing a little summer shindig. I did a Christmas one. So I'm definitely want to do a summer shindig or something at the house.
But looking forward to celebrating you, though. That's going to bring me joy. Is to see my brother be elevated in a place. Because we know the story. We know what the Lord has brought you from and where he's bringing you to. And your future is bright. I'm excited to know you. I'm excited to be your friend and your brother and your partner in this thing we call podcast business. So I'm excited for you. So we'll be there. And I'm going to dance. Hopefully, y'all, I want to go up. I want to go up.
Pastor said it's going to be a celebration. So I don't know. He AME at his core. So I don't, you know, I will say this. I'm a little spiritually sensitive. So all I'm going to say is don't give me that mic. Because I don't.
I'm going to dance.
Don't give it to me because I don't. I'm going to be in. Brian, quick thing live on the show.
Yeah.
We are bumping into time as we're putting in this.
Yeah.
Let's get that listen letter next week.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay. All right, let's go to Greater Conversation.
Let's do it.
Let me talk.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here to Greater Conversation. This is where we get some things off of our chests. I say it all the time, tomorrow's not promised, so cuss them folks out today. Josh, what do you have to get off of your chest this week?
It's going to be a combination of things, but it's one thing. And Donald Trump is running for president.
Oh, yuck.
And a lot of people are saying, I heard one person say, I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I'm voting for the Republican Party. And I was not a fan of this particular president's policy or anything like this. But if we're going to highlight the Republican Party anyway, I miss the days of this Republican Party.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully. These responses have got to end in order for us to get the groundwork to discuss a framework for peace, to lay the... All right. We are not at war with Muslims. We don't have a beef with Muslims. We want to be friends with Muslims. And Muslim children.
You know,
I missed that.
George Bush was just nepotism. Listen, he was only there because his daddy was a president. He was,
listen,
it was political stock. And again, George Bush did some, he was a terrible president.
Yeah.
But he was just like out here. And if you could just get us back to that Republican Party.
Listen, I'm okay with that.
I probably still wouldn't vote because some of his policies were whack, like no child left behind and still leaving children behind.
Right.
However, if that's what the Republican Party is, you wouldn't get a protest out of me.
Yeah. Because I'll take the buffoonery over the outright system killing.
Because George Bush was just a blonde. Man knew nothing about what he
sound bites.
What he was going to do.
And I don't think he inherently intentionally hated black people.
I just think he was just a bad politician. He just was not a good president. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, there could be something resting in there, but like I think at his core, like even how he loves Michelle Obama, I don't think he hated black people. I really think he was just he wasn't a good policymaker.
Yeah.
Man, he was legitimately an example of when you lie on your resume.
Yeah.
And you get the job, and it's like...
He'd be like, oh, okay, I got to do it.
You know who he is? Ava from Abbott Elementary, the principal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was George Bush and Corny White.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just here. I'm doing the stuff. I'm going to say the things.
It is what it is.
We here.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So, that's it for me, bro. How about you?
I'm choosing joy. It's going to be a joyous weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm excited. So I'm choosing joy.
All right. Well, with that being said, understood and accepted, it's another episode of the Jigsaw Podcast. As always, thank you so much for riding with us. It has always been an amazing journey. And we're inching up on our year 4. So shout out to that. Almost being 4 years old. Brian? Yeah.
Thank you for everything you continue to do. Continue to follow us on all the social medias. Follow the Jigsaw Podcast. I am Josh Rogers. I am Brian Hare. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. 5 stars and nothing at all. If you're going to rate us, leave us a comment. Let us know how great we are. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, ask the jigsaw@gmail.com. Slide it in the DM if you have any episode ideas. Continue to support and engage with us. Shout out to Jazz, shout out to Chris for all the things that you do. We are great without you, but we are greater with you as the puzzle pieces. Before we head out, Josh, let the people know what they need to do.
All you can do is what you can while you can, the very best ways that you can. But in all of your doing, please don't get caught with your work undone. Love y'all. See y'all next week.
Peace.